Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 19, Text Number 11, right? Prose, right? So this is a prose verse. And the next verse, I'll read and then read the purport. There's no purport to this one right here. Om Namo Bhagavate Upashana Sila Yopa Atan Atnyaya Namakinchana Vithaya Risi Rishabhaya Nara Narayanaya Paramahamsa Paramaguruve Atma Ramad Hipataye Namo Namaha Iti. And this is the translation for that verse. Translation, let me offer my respectful obeisances unto Nara Narayan, the best of all saintly persons, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is the most self-controlled and self-realized. He is free from false prestige, and he is the asset of persons who have no material possessions. He is the spiritual master of all Paramahamsas, who are the most exalted human beings. And he is the master of the self-realized. Let me offer my repeated obeisances at his lotus feet. Now text 12. Gayati chedam kartasya saga dushuyona vadyate nahanyate deha gato idha itai. Drastur nadrigyasya gunar mudhushyate tasmai namo shakta vivikta-sakhine. So please repeat. Gayati, he sings. Cha, and. Idam, this. Karta, the executor. Astya, of this cosmic manifestation. Sarga adishu, of the creation, maintenance, and destruction. Ya, one who, nabhadyate, is not attached to the creator, master, or proprietor. Is not attached as the creator, master, or proprietor. Sorry about that. Na, not, hanyate, is victimized. Dehagata api, although appearing as a human being. Dahikai, by bodily tribulations such as hunger, thirst, and fatigue. Drashtu, of him who is the seer of everything. Na, not, drik, the power of vision. Yasya, of whom, gunai, by the material qualities. Budhushyate, is polluted. Tasmai, unto him. Namaha, my respectful obeisances. Ashakta, unto the Supreme Person, who is unattached. Vivikta, without affection. Shakshine, the witness of everything. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Narada, the most powerful saintly sage, also worships Nara Narayan by chanting the following mantra. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the master of the creation, maintenance, and annihilation of this visible cosmic manifestation, yet he is completely free from false prestige. Although, to the foolish, he appears to have accepted a material body like us, he is unaffected by bodily tribulations like hunger, thirst, and fatigue. Although he is the witness who sees everything, his senses are unpolluted by the objects he sees. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto that unattached, pure witness of the world, the Supreme Soul, the Personality of Godhead. Purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is described as Satchit Ananda Vigraha, the body of eternity, transcendental bliss, and full knowledge. Now, in this verse, he is more fully described. Krishna is the creator of the entire cosmic manifestation, yet he is unattached to it. If we were to construct a very tall skyscraper, we would be very attached to it. But Krishna is so renounced that although he has created everything, he is not attached to anything. Nabhadyate. Furthermore, although Krishna has his transcendental form, Satchit Ananda Vigraha, he is not disturbed by the bodily necessities of life, which are called Daihika. For example, he is never hungry, thirsty, or fatigued. Nahanyate deha gato da hikai. Then again, since everything is Krishna's property, he sees everything and is present everywhere. But because his body is transcendental, he is above vision, the objects of vision, and the process of vision. When we see something beautiful, we are attracted. The sight of a beautiful woman immediately attracts a man. And the sight of a man naturally attracts a woman. Krishna, however, is transcendental to all these faults. Although he is the seer of everything, he is not afflicted with faulty vision. Nadrig yasya gunar budhushyate. Therefore, although he is the witness and seer, he is aloof from all affection for the activities he sees. He is always unattached and separate. He is only a witness. O Mijnana Tamanandasya Yananjana Shalakaya Chakshum Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namah Mukham Krotavachalang Pongun Long Hayategarim Yat Kripa Taraham Vande Shigarum dinatanam vanchakapa tibhyascha kripa sindhubhyevacha patitanam pavanevyo vaishnavevyo namo namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaur Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Recently I was in Taiwan. I was staying at one house, and there was one daughter living in this house. She was a student at Florida State University, living in Taiwan, just there for the summer. She wasn't commuting. So she had one little doubt that we say that there's free will, that we can choose to serve Krishna or not. But if we choose not to serve Krishna, then we suffer. If we choose to serve Krishna, then we can be happy. So, seems like, you know, kind of unfair free will, that you serve me, you'll be happy. If you don't serve me, you're going to suffer. She said, kind of like a dictator. I've heard this before. And it's an interesting question. And actually, Krishna is a bit like a dictator. But generally, this word dictator has a negative connotation. But if you look in the dictionary, it simply means someone who is an ultimate controller, the highest controller, or in a particular country. Of course, now we're talking about universe. So Krishna is the supreme controller. Nothing moves without his sanction. But Krishna is not just an ordinary dictator. He's actually the best friend of everyone and the father of everyone. And if anybody completely devotes themselves to him, then they experience the highest happiness that one can possibly experience. So, and he's the father that, you know, that can't be changed. That's an absolute reality. And he knows that the living entities will not be happy unless they're having a relationship with him. And what everybody is searching for is love. As Prabhupada once said in a class, that love is only between the living entity and Krishna. You can have relationships outside of a relationship with Krishna. There's so many relationships here in the material world, but no love, lust. So if one wants to have a loving relationship, then that is between the living entities and between Krishna. And this is the goal. This is the goal of life, to understand our position as spirit souls, to understand the position of Krishna as the supreme soul, and render devotional service. And the result of this is that we wake up from our material slumber. Just like you might be dreaming at night. But as soon as you wake up, then the dream vanishes. Right? Sometimes dreams are so real. I had one actually not too long ago, just a couple of weeks ago. And it was so real, I was thinking, this must be a dream. And I was thinking, no, I'm awake. It's not a dream. In the dream, I was thinking, no, I'm awake. But it was just a dream. Sometimes they seem so real. You know, sometimes people start screaming. I remember when I was on traveling Sangha one time, and I was in the van, and one devotee told me the next morning, he said, "Vijay, while you were sleeping in the van, you lifted your arm and you said, 'Excuse me, sir.'" I didn't remember, but sometimes they appear so real. But when we wake up, then the dream vanishes. So when we wake up, when we become completely self-realized in this dream, it's like there's night dreams and there's daydreams. So this is the daydream that we're American or black or white or Chinese or Russian. This is all a dream. So when we become completely self-realized, then this dream vanishes. It's finished. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he says, "Wake up, Jeev Jago. Jeev Jago, Gora Chandra Bhur. Wake up, conditioned soul. Don't sleep on the witch of Maya. This human form of life is a rare opportunity. So don't waste your life sleeping on this illusory idea that you can be happy in this material world. Wake up. Tamasima Joityirgama. That come out of the darkness. This material world, it's a place of darkness. If the sun wasn't there, if the moon wasn't there, it'd be complete darkness. So we are meant to be awake in Krishna consciousness. I was just listening to a lecture. Prabhupada said, consciousness means Krishna consciousness. Without Krishna, there is no consciousness. Just like the sun, if someone's outside getting some suntan or something, they say, oh, such nice sunshine today. They don't just say shine. Yeah? They say sunshine. Without the sun, there's no shine. Right? So therefore they say sunshine. Right? So without Krishna, there's no consciousness. Therefore Krishna, consciousness. Prabhupada mentions in this purport how Krishna, he is the cause of all causes, the creator, maintainer, destroyer, ultimately. Last night I was speaking to some students who were visiting, and I was explaining the position of Krishna, some of the glories of Krishna, how he is the creator, and I explained this fallacy that's being taught in the universities of the Big Bang theory, that there was a chunk and this chunk exploded, and from that explosion all this amazing order has come about. And generally when there's an explosion, then it's chaos, destruction. And so I gave the example I've given here before. You have some stack of wood and you put some dynamite under and blow it up, then wood flies up, lands in a beautiful house. So it's not very practical, not very logical. It's not going to happen. So then one of the students looked at me and said, so, I'm shrapnel. Shrapnel. You know, like when you blow something up, and so he said, well, I'm just shrapnel. I'm part of the explosion. There's a problem with this, another fallacy, is that the chunk is dead, just dead matter. But your life, life doesn't come from dead matter. There's no example of that. It's never happened. Life comes from life. Yeah. And this is another thing that Prabhupada pointed out again and again and again. Life comes from life. Therefore, that's that whole book, Life Comes from Life. You know, the scientists are saying that life comes from matter, from this chunk. But no, there's no example. No one can create life out of dead matter. It's not going to happen. Although they're trying. It's not going to happen. Life comes from life. So, the students were kind of appreciating this. And one of the things I said that people don't hear very much, I told him that God is such a wonderful person that he's the coolest person. This is God. He's the coolest person. No one is more popular than Krishna. And everybody wants to be around cool, you know, popular people. So Krishna is the most popular person. And there's one name for Krishna, Kautiki, which means Krishna, he has the best sense of humor. People like to be around people that have good sense of humor. They're funny. So Krishna, he has the best sense of humor. He's very attractive. So the students were like, wow, I never heard that about God. So we have so much to offer by this distribution of this transcendental literature. And so many people are benefiting from this knowledge that we're distributing. While I was in Taiwan also, the hostess where I was staying, I asked her, so how did you become a devotee? She said, well, my aunt was traveling in America and she happened to go through the Los Angeles airport and she got a Bhagavad Gita. But before she got it, she wasn't interested. She was telling the devotee, no, I'm not going to read it. And the devotee was a little pushy. And so he said, no, this is your culture. It's your Indian body. This is your culture. If you don't learn these teachings, then you're going to forget your culture. So he was kind of putting a little pressure, a little transcendental pressure. Not too much. She took the Bhagavad Gita and she put it in her home. And just a few weeks later, this lady, the hostess of this house where I was staying in Taiwan, she was visiting her aunt. She said, "You know, I've been thinking I'd like to read the Bhagavad Gita." She said, "Well, isn't that a coincidence? I happen to have it now. I just got it recently in Los Angeles." So she took it home. She read it in like a week or so. Now she's been a devotee for the past, I think, about 8 years now. Yeah. So this is the result of book distribution. Now her husband is chanting Hare Krishna. Her two daughters are chanting Hare Krishna. She's the main person in Taiwan that's kind of pushing book distribution. Also, she's trying to encourage the devotees in book distribution. The aunt still hasn't read it. It's still sitting, waiting, tick, tick, tick. Right? Hopefully it'll go off eventually. The story's not over yet. There's so many examples of this that people, they get books and they're not interested, and let it sit and sit and sit, and finally somebody picks it up and reads it. So this knowledge is extremely valuable. It's what is most needed in society. So therefore, Srila Prabhupada, he stressed book distribution so much. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he said the only lack in society is Krishna consciousness. So this whole mood that Srila Prabhupada imbibed came from Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He was so much into book distribution, so much so that in one of the temples in India, he had the printing press installed in the temple room because he knew that Krishna would be pleased to see that the words are being printed. Therefore, it's the Brihat Mridanga. Yeah, so this is what is most needed in society. And although we have the most valuable knowledge, we're not as organized as we could be to distribute this valuable knowledge. Yeah. But we're getting better and better. Srila Prabhupada said we should tax our brains on how to distribute books. And now there's so many different ways. In the beginning there was just one-on-one, going to the airports or going to parking lots, but now there's so many different ways. There's the internet, there's Shastra Dan, there's smart tables, smart boxes, so many different ways to distribute books. So this is very auspicious, and I'm sure that Krishna is pleased. He says, "Yai dang paramangu yang mad bhakte sabadhasi bhakti mayam param krita mama vaisya yasangsaya." He says, "There's no one more dear to me than that person who is preaching the message of Bhagavad Gita. Nacha tasman manushesu kashya me prikritama." And there'll never be anyone more dear to me than that person. So we're all here in the Krishna consciousness movement so that we can be devotees of Krishna, that we could surrender our life to Krishna. So Krishna has given a very clear hint here. You want to become dear to me? You want to become dear to me? Then distribute books. Distribute this information to others. The very quick way to be recognized by Krishna. So here, Narada Muni, he's chanting this prayer to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan. So this is also very pleasing to glorify Krishna. Therefore, there's so many prayers throughout the Vedic literatures, throughout the Srimad Bhagavatam, glorifying Krishna. And devotees, they relish hearing these glories. Satang basang hang mama virya sangvadho bhavanti hrit karanaras haya nakata the Josanat Asvapavagar Vartmani, Shredharatir Bhakti Anukramashyati. The devotees of the Lord, they derive great happiness in hearing the glories of Krishna from other devotees. Satang Basangang, it's very, very pleasing to the ear and to the heart. Satang Basangang Mamavirya Sangvadho, these wonderful glories of Krishna And the result of hearing about Krishna in the association of other devotees is that Shraddha Ratir Bhaktir Anukramashyati, that the heart, it becomes purified. One gains great faith in Krishna, and ultimately one attains love for Krishna. Srila Prabhupada, he says in one purport, that devotees of the Lord have no doubt about the supremacy of Krishna. They have no doubt because they're completely free of sin. And this is the state of divine love. So they have no doubt because they have no sinful desire. All they want to do is serve Krishna. This is a symptom of love. Whatever a devotee sees, he's thinking of how to engage this in the service of Krishna. When the non-devotee sees something, they think how they can utilize it for their sense gratification. This is the difference between material consciousness and spiritual consciousness, or Krishna consciousness. The devotee sees, a male devotee sees an attractive woman, he thinks, oh, wouldn't it be nice if she can be a devotee of Krishna, she could be one of Krishna's gopis. But a material sees, oh, then he thinks how to exploit her. Or if he sees a flower, he thinks, oh, let me offer this to Krishna. He's always thinking of how to please Krishna. Yeah. So this is the mood of a devotee. He has great faith in Krishna. Previously, we had faith in sense gratification. We were thinking, if I satisfy my senses, then I'll be fully satisfied. But then, fortunately, Krishna rattled and shook up that faith. We don't have that faith anymore. Now we have faith that by pleasing Krishna, then we'll be satisfied. And if I try to satisfy my senses, then I'll be frustrated. So our faith has adjusted, fortunately. So the more we hear the glories of Krishna, the more we chant the glories of Krishna, the more our faith in Krishna will increase. And the more our faith in Krishna increases, the more Krishna he reveals himself. So, and if we completely give ourselves to Krishna, then he gives himself to us. So this is the result of surrender to Krishna, that we get the most wonderful prize, the most wonderful accomplishment, which is Krishna. So this is the result of devotional service. We have to serve someone, can't avoid service. So this service to Krishna, this is the most pleasing service. And devotee, he's so much interested in serving Krishna that he's not even interested in satisfying his own senses or getting even spiritual pleasure, just like this Daruka. In Daruka, he was fanning Krishna and he was getting so much ecstasy from fanning Krishna that he was shivering. Tears were coming from his eyes, his hairs were standing. But he cursed those ecstasies because they were interfering with his service. So, of course, this is a very exalted level of devotional service. And Krishna, he says in the Bhagavad Gita, Jirena Yavaram Karma Buddhi Yoga Dhananjaya. He says, keep all abominable thoughts far away by the process of devotional service. And in this consciousness, fully surrender unto me. Those who are misers, they want to enjoy the material senses. So those are the misers. We want to become broad-minded. If we limit ourselves to just trying to satisfy these material senses, then we're very limited. We limit our ability to actually enjoy. If we surrender to Krishna, we can't imagine how much pleasure. Therefore, because Krishna, he's called the reservoir of pleasure. Pleasure just emanating from Krishna. So even if you want to enjoy, then don't waste time with material enjoyment because it's frustrating. Temporary. What's that verse? Nunam pramata kru te vikarma yat indriya pritaya apanoti When one thinks that sense gratification is the goal of life, one becomes mad after such sense gratification. He engages in all kinds of sinful activities. But it is recommended that a wise person not again engage in such material activities, because why? They're temporary. They're a cause of suffering, and they're a cause of one's accepting again a material body. So, not a good result. You know? Sense gratification, material sense gratification, means that you continue suffering. But if we surrender to Krishna, then we achieve the satisfaction that we're searching for. You know? We become shanti, Krishna bhakti nishkama, ata eva shanti, bhukti mukti, siddhi kami, sakali ashanta. You know? Devotees of the Lord, Krishna bhakti nishkama, they're satisfied because they just want to serve Krishna. But those who are desirous of material enjoyment, who want mystic cities, bhukti, mukti, liberation, then they can't be satisfied. Why? Because there's some selfish desires. Love means that one is not interested in one's own pleasure, only wants to serve or please the object of love. That's Krishna. Yeah. So this is real love, and this is what people are searching for, but you won't find it in this world. That's only in Krishna. We do have that free will. We can go either way. Therefore, Krishna, he says in the Bhagavad Gita, iti te jnanam akhyatam guyad guyatam ammaya vimrshe sadrseshina yatechasi tatakuru. Krishna, he explained the whole Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna. Then he said, now Arjuna, you deliberate on this fully, you do as you like. Do whatever you want. And then Arjuna says, krishya vachanantara, that I will act as you have asked me to. Nasta moha smriti labdha. Now my illusion is gone by your mercy. Now I will act as you have asked me to, as you have instructed. And this should be the result of our reading Bhagavad Gita, that we act according to how Krishna wants us to act. Yeah. We have to do something. Yeah. Therefore it's stated, Nihayat karma dharmaya na viragaya kapate na tirtapada sevaya jimanapi matohisaha. That if one's work does not bring one to dharma, if dharma does not bring one to renunciation, and renunciation does not bring one to devotional service, then one is considered to be dead, although breathing. So we have to do something. We have to work. But if we work for Krishna, then we become satisfied. And Krishna, he is a very fair, equal opportunity employer. You know, samoham sarvabhutesu. He envies no one. No one is he partial to anyone. But anybody who renders service to him in devotion is in him, and he gives himself to such a person. So we have to work. So better work for Krishna. Try to act in a way that is pleasing to Krishna. And this is dharma. This brings us to dharma. You know, our dharma is to be the eternal servant of Krishna. And the result of engaging in devotional service to Krishna is that one becomes detached from material life. And from that detachment, then one can get closer, gets that opportunity to get closer to Krishna. But if we're attached to material sense gratification, then it's very difficult to wake up from this dream and engage in devotional service. So maybe I'll stop there. Any questions? Yes, Prabhu. Oh, wait, we have the microphone coming in your direction.
Quite often, I won't call them the opponents, it's maybe a little too strong, but those who are not so much into book distribution, one of their arguments is, well, you've been distributing books for so many decades at LAX, where are all the devotees? So you answer that question. They get made and they go to other countries, mm-hmm. which is all right. We're not narrow-minded. We're an international society.
LA gets the credit.
Yeah. I told you that story. Maybe not all the other devotees know, but when I was in Oslo, Norway in 1996, I met a devotee, Mana Margdas, who was the top book distributor at the time, and I asked him, how did you become a devotee? So he told me he was from a very well-to-do family and he was always searching for happiness and couldn't find it. So he made a vow. I'm going to go to Haiti, the best place in the world, supposedly, Tahiti, to live. And if I don't find happiness there, then I'm just going to kill myself. So on the way to Tahiti, he came to LAX and he bought a book from you. From the description of the book distributor, I figured it was you. He bought a Bhagavad Gita. Went to Tahiti, read it, and went back to Norway and became a devotee. So that's what happens. LAX distribution makes devotees all around the world.
Also in Hong Kong, they're regularly going out. There's no temple devotees. But the congregation is so fired up, there's about seven or eight devotees that go out once a week on book distribution. So things are happening. Any other question or comment? Okay, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Listener, we're here.